As a preliminary matter, this is Kim Mutchell. Permit me to confirm that all members and persons anticipated on the agenda are present and can hear me. Members, when I call your name, please respond in the affirmative. Vice Chair Jeff Harris.
Yes.
Member Diane Daddario.
Yes.
Staff, when I call your name, please respond in the affirmative. Health Director Kathleen.
Yes.
Health Agent Ginny.
Yes.
Public Health Nurse Alicia.
Here.
And Regional Inspector Carrie.
Here.
And we also have a guest from Franklin Matters.
Steve. Yes, recording is.
And recording is, we are being recorded. Any participants who wish to speak during the webinar must enter their full name and email address when joining. All participants will be automatically muted upon joining. In order to speak, the participant will need to select the raise hand function to request to be unmuted. All speakers will be required to state their full name and street address before commenting. And I think first thing we have is citizens' comments. Citizens are welcome to express their views for up to 3 minutes on a matter that is not on the agenda in compliance with GL Chapter 38, Section 20, the open meeting law. The Board of Health cannot engage in a dialogue or comment on a matter raised during citizen comments. The Board of Health may ask the Director of Public Health to review the matter. Are there any citizens' comments? Okay. Being none, I'm looking for approval of the minutes, but it does need a slight correction. That member Diane Daddario was there and that Vice Chair Jeff Harris was absent.
The last meeting?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh, the name. So I had it.
No, you just wrote Vice Chair.
Could you just show me later? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's easy. And other than that, I thought that it looked fine. Would anyone like to make a motion to approve the minutes?
I make a motion. Approve the minutes.
I'll second it. Diane, how do you vote?
Yes.
Yes.
And Kim votes yes as well. All right. So our new business is restricting the sale of tobacco products, inspection violations discussion.
Yep. So, have a contract with the MHOA to do our inspections every year. And Kathleen DeFore came out on February 18th to do, she didn't do all of them. She did what I have listed for you, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 establishments. So we did have some second violations and first violations as well. So the first violation at Franklin Convenient, he's brand new. He's on 12 West Main Street. And they had flavored wraps, no manufacturer letters, pouches, nicotine pouches over 6 milligrams, cigar pricing not at local regulation. The flavored wraps is a state violation, which is $1,000. And the other violations, although the first came up to $300. So he was pretty upset about paying the $1,300. I will check with the clerk's office to make sure he paid, but I do believe he wanted me to speak on his behalf that you would turn around the $1,000. But as we told him, we learned the last time Sarah was on with us that we can't reverse the state regulation of violation. So that $1,000 has to stand.
Is his tobacco products permit also being suspended for the 5 business days?
No, he's got a first violation.
Was he one
but
of
that
the
is a first
ever?
Violation.
Oh, is it? I'm sorry.
Yes.
Hold on.
First violation is 5 days.
Okay, you're right. Yes.
Second
sorry.
Violation is 7 days. Third
yes.
violation is 30 days.
And he's very upset about that, though he's not here.
Was he one of the original guys
no,
over here?
No, he just opened.
He just
oh, okay.
opened, yeah. Ginny did tell him he could come to our board meeting to address this with the board because he hasn't even made $1,000 yet because he's still maybe open, plus the not not sell tobacco products for 7 consecutive days, and that's a hardship for him, and he's asking the board to please change that, to reverse that as well. I told him I would give you the message, but not to get your hopes up. Franklin Smoke Shop, second violation. They're not here. They were very upset as well. I can only tell you what they're telling me, that it's a hardship if they don't sell their tobacco products for 7 days, for 5 days, and 7 days. They will pay the, these two said they have no problem paying the violation, but please to not have them not sell their tobacco products. Again, relaying because they're not here to speak, which is disheartening too.
Especially since the second violation, they already were suspended 3 days the last time.
Right, and so Shell doesn't remember the 2025 violation. Franklin Smoke Shop really didn't have any, I don't think he had any excuses, really, when we were out there.
Well, he said the thing that got the fine for $1,000, he was just using the box. The project that he got cited for.
Yeah.
And I think the person inspected it.
Because that was, he had a state regulation violation, so that was $1,000 as well for the Smoke Shop. 7-Eleven went ahead and just stopped selling tobacco for 7 days, no questions asked. And DeVita's was a first violation. So we're not done yet. Kathleen will be out at another time to get the rest. These places with the first and second violations have already received their fines with a letter. We went there in person to deliver. So that's about it. Now, I'm not asking you to take a vote. I'm just giving you information that these retailers are asking for.
So I guess my question is, in the letter, have we discussed at all in terms of what their third violation is going to be?
Verbally, I have.
But we haven't put it in writing. It might be best to put it in writing, and so that we can document that, because the next one's going to be 30 days, and I don't want you to have to go through this again when we've already done it for 3 days or 5 days and then 7 days.
I can do that, but I want to get the board to know that when they renew their permit, their tobacco permit, they have to sign that they have read and understood the tobacco regulations.
But I'm thinking that they're signing without reading it.
Right.
Well, that's their problem.
And that's their problem.
That's their problem.
In terms of leniency, I don't really see a reason to be lenient when they're signing on a regular basis.
That's what I mean, yeah. I mean, I've been happy to, I've been verbally telling them third violation is going to be a whole different story and you better get your act together.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I talked to Shell 4 times.
Oh, jeez.
And so.
And they can't even make it to the meeting, so that tells you a lot.
Yeah. But anyways, I don't know if the board, it's in our regulation, so but I just wanted to let you know that. So that being said, if I don't hear a motion that you want to reverse that, then we will make sure that they stop selling tobacco on Monday for 7 consecutive days, and we will go out there and make sure that it's supposed to be off the shelf. I do allow them to cover it because there's so many tobacco products. Franklin Smoke Shop will have to just shut down the entire store. So
is it, there's two smoke shops though, so that the Moonlight and the Franklin would both have to shut down?
Yeah, so the Moonlight Smoke Shop, I made a mistake. I thought they only had one violation. When I was documenting this, I saw it. So I haven't addressed them yet.
Okay.
I'm gonna address them with the second round.
Okay.
They came right in, they came right in the next day. They wanted to make sure they were all right, and I inadvertently said yes, yeah, so I'm going to address that with them. And that's fine. We have a good working relationship with them. So. And Sarah joined us just from the MHOA as well, if you had any questions. So, but I think you're all set because no one showed up.
Thank you, Sarah, for attending. We appreciate your time and your effort. And we apologize for our owners.
Thank you, Sarah. We appreciate you helping out.
Thank you.
Sarah's a big help.
Yes.
This is just, there's so much going on between the state and local regulations, and in dealing with these tobacco retail permit holders, it's just a lot when this happens, and we have to do round two.
I got a question. How are we catching these people doing this?
Well, through the inspection process.
And who's?
So remember we agreed that the MHOA would be our tobacco inspector, so she comes out once a year.
But is she going inadvertently to these places and?
Yep, she goes to every single place, yep. She leaves them a report card as well, so it's very educational. When we asked to see the report card so we could answer questions, they didn't have it on.
I don't feel bad for them, especially that they've been told and warned, and then they do it a second time, and then a third time, and they want us to
reverse the violation.
I don't get it.
One thing I noticed that there's a lot of violations for selling pouches over 6 milligrams.
We just did that.
Did they get enough notice? I mean, did we put it out there? So
no. I told the inspector, let's use this as an educational moment for them. That next time it will be a violation.
How do we get the message out to them?
Usually I write a letter.
So they haven't even gotten the letter of what we decided
right.
to do. So you can't put that down as violations.
I didn't want to because they weren't notified.
Yeah.
And I felt like that was kind of on me, and I'd rather educate them. Yeah. Now the.
But there were also a fair amount of them that were physically here when we talked about it and said that we were going to go with the 6 milligrams too.
But they didn't hear the formal vote because we didn't vote until like a month later.
Yes. Right. Exactly. So I still have to do that, and I will do that. This has taken a lot of my time, believe it or not. You just have no idea. I mean, one phone call after another phone call, begging, pleading, it's just a lot. it's just a lot.
Let Jenny do all that.
Jenny helps. Jenny does it, and then Jenny calls me, and I'm like,
Jenny loves the broad line.
No wonder Jenny's door is closed all the time.
I will say this, that I think next year I'm going, because there's so many second violations, when I know she's coming, I think I'm going to send a letter saying an inspection will be conducted. And like you want me to do, but do it closer to that next inspection. That if you're up for a third violation, then this is the ramification.
So I'm going to play devil's advocate. So they take everything off, all the bad stuff off, and then as soon as they have the inspection, it goes right back on the shelf.
Why wait a year?
You can do it now. I can do it with the regulation changes.
A lot of people here with violations. The inspection should be more frequent.
True, but they're only doing once a year. Kim has asked for us to do a 6-month follow-up.
She wants 2 months.
Well, I mean, two or three. Can't anyone else go besides them?
Let's just take care of this so that we don't have to keep year after year.
But the risk is they're going to go out in like 3 months or 6 months. And they're going to get the third violation. It's going to be 30 days at that point. The other question is there a possibility that the town finds that we can massively increase that as a...
What do you mean, the town fine?
So you were saying that some of them were state fines and some of them were our fines. Can we change our fines and make them more punitive in order to maybe get their attention more? Because if it's only $300, you may just say, that's...
Well, it's more than $300.
Well, no, but that's $1,000 for the state, but ours are real much cheaper.
So I got the draft regulation from the MAHB, and that was the violation. So, ours is just $100, $200, and $300.
Why can't we match what the state is? Make it the same as the state. That'll get their attention.
I have to do a public hearing and everything again.
It'll definitely get someone's attention. If I got to pay that kind of money, man, we're going to make sure this stuff works right.
I don't know. I can't really.
So then my other question is, now if they have, so we get three or more violations within that, we're going 6 months. Now they're on a fourth violation. There's nothing in here that says, because what I'm seeing is only up to first violation, and it's within 36 months. So it goes within, they're coming every once a year. But there's a potential if we go out in 6 months that we'll get a third violation there, and when they come back in a year from now, there'll be a fourth violation within the 36 months.
Yeah, and the fourth is permanently revoking their tobacco sales permit.
I don't see that in here.
It's after the list of state laws and local policies.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, keep
going.
Yep,
got it.
And then the failure to cooperate, interfere with inspection.
Okay.
So there is a fourth.
Excellent.
Yeah. So it's up to, I'll do anything that you all ask. If you want me to go back out in 6 months, I can go back out and do more of an educational pre, if you know what I mean, to see where they're at and not be out there, making it harder for them. I don't know. I'll send a letter. We'll go out in 6 months. Maybe I'll report back to you and tell you my findings of that inspection, and then you can tell me whether we should go with the third violation or not.
How about if they have a violation, they get inspected more often?
More frequently.
More frequently. Like,
well,
they
that's
have,
what we're saying with the 6 months or 3 months.
But even more than that, if you have a violation, you're going to be inspected 4 times a year, and after the year, good, then you go back to once a year.
Well, that's confusing. I suppose. Let me talk to Sarah about that. Let me see if any other town does that. We don't have a lot of manpower here either.
No, I understand.
Yeah. But before we do that, how about we start with, you all decide, 3 months, 6 months, and then I'll see where they're at. There's still violations, and then we can talk about doing another in 4 months. Or can we do that?
Yeah.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
What do you think? I'm okay with 6 months, but I don't want it as a, oh, we're going to do your education in 6 months. It's like,
you do it,
an inspection in 6 months, and that's holding.
Okay.
So if they don't pass it, they go here, and then if the next year at this time, because it'll be the fourth violation, what happens.
I just don't think that them paying the fine, like you said, really matters to them. I think.
But we shut them down on some of them, and that was so hard. And yet, this is the whole thing. But then, yet there's still second violations.
I don't know what else you can do. Shutting them down to me seems like more of a thing for them to not want to do it again if you shut them down for a short period of time.
But they also listen to these tobacco salespeople, and instead of calling us and saying, whoever was in today and they said that we can sell the cigar at this price, and is he correct? They take everything that they're told face value.
And they should.
That's their problem.
That is their problem.
Do they know when the inspections are coming up?
And they shouldn't.
No, they shouldn't know when that's
coming. No, no one knows.
Show up when they go.
Every 6 months, people. Not going to make you do tobacco.
She said, you have to wear a hood over your head, and walking.
They can figure out when they're going to come and be good that model.
So you tell me, what do you want the next one?
I would say 6 months, and make it binding. Not as a, oh, we're going to educate you one last time, because they've been educated. This will be their second time, and
okay.
Where the chips fall, they fall.
Okay. Is their education written down?
So what are we saying then? 6 months, they're going to...
In 6 months, the ones that have violations, whether it's first or second violations, we'll inspect all of those. The ones who do not have violations do not need to go.
Okay.
Would you agree with that?
I don't.
Everybody.
I think 6 months is
you
too
think
easy.
Everybody?
I think everybody.
Okay.
Everybody?
We're going to do everybody.
Everybody, all right.
Yeah, so we're not targeting.
Okay. And we just had a brand new, a long time store with the first violation, so. So you just never know, they're gonna not be. All right, well, good talk. I'm gonna mail out the letters for the amendments to the regulations, schedule 6-month inspection for everybody. And, well, is that encompassing what's coming up? I've got another round coming up, another 10.
We're gonna hold them to the same.
Hold them to the same.
Yeah.
All right.
We need to be consistent.
Okay.
Versus.
All right, so, okay.
And maybe the people without violations will get on the cases of the ones with violations because we're making it harder for them.
Well.
Okay.
Make it hard for everybody.
It's like beating the car against the wall, maybe.
And I don't think we should have to, so, you know. If we try and back down and make it easy for them, then we're just going to keep beating our heads. So just like, I would just hold.
No, I'm glad you're strong about it, believe me.
Hey, that's because I've been threatened by the DEA in the past.
There you go. All right, one other thing I just wanted to bring up, not a big discussion right now because it's just a note asking if we can put this on the agenda for the next one, is that just about every store that we went into is selling this, it's called Kratom, and it's there's what's called natural, the synthetic. It's on the DEA's watch list, is not federally regulated. It is a type of drug that works on, and correct me if I'm wrong in saying this, ladies, it works on your opioid receptors in your brain, and so it can be, addicting. It's not regulated as to highs or lows. I have a lot of information on it, and 11 cities and towns have already prohibited it. We're having a webinar, I don't know if you saw that, there's a webinar about Kratom and about if you want me to register you. We'll know more information after that. So I'd like to put that on the agenda for next time. And I will tell you, it's a big hit.
It's a hot topic.
Hot topic that the community is not going to like. The community that is enjoying the product. So is that okay to start to pursue that?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Right. When is it?
Next Wednesday.
It was supposed to be today, but they moved it to next week. I think it's like noon time.
Yeah.
Do you want to go?
1 hour.
Is it going to be here?
Online. It's a webinar.
I'll be.
Oh, okay.
It's a webinar.
All right, I'll register.
Will they at some point send us the link?
I think so.
Yes, they'll post it to the meeting. You didn't go? You didn't get it? I didn't send it to you? I'll send it to you.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
You would have registered.
I didn't register. I'll do it for you. It's all
okay.
Right. Yeah. Okay. All right, great. All right, and now you want to move on? I'll show you this cool and thing the state has.
The report by mail. I went on it. It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
The what? I'm sorry.
Report by mail.
Yep. So.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
Yeah.
I looked up all this stuff.
So, report by mail is an online system for reporting suspected foodborne illness to public health officials. Right now, we don't find out about confirmed or suspected cases till it's in Maven. And a lot of times we get calls that they ate somewhere and they're sick. And we usually have them call their doctor to have a foodborne illness confirmed. But we do address it at the restaurants as well. So I just wanted to, this is on our website. If you you want to take a look at it, it's kind of cool. And it's something the state just came out with, so I thought I'd share it with you.
I looked at it this afternoon. I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah, it's on that.
It's on our website.
Yeah, it's on our website.
It's a great idea.
Yeah.
I like that.
We haven't gotten any reports, but.
But But a lot of it is, they're not going to report it if they don't necessarily know how to report it.
Right, and that's the other, that's why I wanted to bring it to light here.
Yeah. And I know I had a problem in a mail in another town in which I didn't know how to report, so I never really reported it, but there was a 16 penny nail in the mail. A nail.
Oh, you told me about that. Yeah.
In the mail, so it was kind of like, my mother-in-law's dinner.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Okay, so do you want an update on the Women's Health Expo?
Yes, question.
If that's on the town page, do you have any plans to do any announcements to the community to let them know of it?
Yeah.
To use that?
Yeah, we're going to start using Regroup again.
Okay.
So we're going to do that, Regroup? Yeah.
What's Regroup?
Regroup is like a reverse 911 call.
Oh, okay.
And you can sign up for the health department to get notifications.
I have to like relearn.
Yeah. We used to do a monthly
Cassia did it for
wellness, like, you know, anything from dementia to breast cancer or whatever. But they just redid the Regroup, the IT department, and he said that we've got 30 subscribers already.
Oh.
So we want to start, we haven't really brainstormed, but I think it would be fun to start with.
There's
this.
Always, like, you know, every month there's always something.
No,
this
no.
month, like, breast cancer awareness month, like, we can do little things like that, or...
Yeah.
Like the two measles, you know, like
push information.
There's always information.
Yeah, we'll be brainstorm, but out. Let's start with this one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Right.
Update on Women's Health Expo.
I didn't even print the flyers on my phone though.
Okay.
So we're gonna be having a Women's Health Expo where we're gonna be basically focusing on getting vendors there that focus on women's health, anything from fitness, nutrition, hormonal. I know we have Dana-Farber, they're going to be coming. We have a mammogram van that's going to be coming too from 7 in the morning till 3:15 in the afternoon.
And that's through Dana-Farber?
Yes. You can like look and see. I know it's hard to see too, but I haven't started pushing it out yet because we're going to be having it at New England Chapel, and they're kind enough to offer for the mammograms childcare, so I need to get approval from Dana-Farber first if we can add that onto their flyer. And then we're doing like a separate thing about the health fair that's going to be happening from 2 to 5 because we want to kind of still target people getting out of work, even though the mammogram van will be there all day.
And they'll be seeing...
Yep.
In that time frame.
Like 15-minute slots, give or take.
We had a little virtual tour of the bus.
It's very cool.
It's
very impressive.
This is 3D imaging, too. So it's, you know, really important. And women who are 30?
40 and over, but I'm sure, like, so you have to pre-register. So I'm sure, like, if you were in that younger group in your 30s and have a medical history, like a mother or a close family member with a history of breast cancer, insurance would approve them. So it's not just limited to 40 and over, but you have to pre-register. Makes it so much faster pre-registering also. And they get back to people pretty quickly too, they said, with the results.
Yeah,
which is nice.
We had a meeting with Dana-Farber.
Yeah, it was great.
It was great.
Yeah.
Very, very excited. You have to be within 35 miles in their cash area. We luckily made it.
So, yeah.
Yeah, so we're pretty excited about it. We're planning probably to park it on the side of New England Chapel. It does have a generator, which is a little loud, but not louder than a truck, so we figured that would be a good buffer for the traffic.
And we're still focusing on trying to get, like, vendors and things like that, but... Cassie's on vacation, so when she's back next week, we'll push with sending out like our little cards to push what the event is and getting people to come to it.
Awesome.
Yeah, but we already have like the big vendor that we want there, and then we'll work around it.
And we got the site for the
And we have the site, exactly.
Which I think will be the most highly visible because it's going to be right along 140.
I think it's a great spot on 140, like right there on 140. So people will be like, oh, what's going on over there? So even... If you're not scheduled to get the mammogram, you can still go into New England Chapel and see what's going on with the vendors.
Oh, so you're going to have vendors inside the chapel.
Yes.
That's a great place.
So the van is there all day, and then we will start the health fair. It kind of overlaps 2 to 5, so we can, when we've done events during the day, they can be so hit or miss. So, like, we try to do it on the later end to get, like, people, if it's, like, out of school, out of work. I know everyone's schedules can be different. The mammogram van only does those hours, so that's what we were stuck to. But instead of doing, like, a daytime event, figured we'd do it in the afternoon like we usually do our health fairs.
And can you work it out to get the message board? I don't know who did the health fair message boards. Was it you, Christina, or was that Felicia?
It wasn't me. All
right, then I'll look at one.
And that goes to the chief of police.
Yeah, so oh, yeah.
Who's in charge of it.
Yes, she did do that.
Oh,
yeah.
She did? All right.
Yes,
well,
yes.
Okay. For the message board?
The kind of the welcome sign in front of the Walgreens, and then the other one at Davis Fair.
No, welcome message.
Oh, like the traffic
right.
ones?
I just need
oh, yeah.
to still put kind of a placard there. It could be date.
That would be good to change
that.
That
would also be an audio opportunity.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Audio opportunity.
And I couldn't print out that picture.
She's not listening to us.
I don't know why, but...
Okay. Yeah, I haven't, like, pushed this out yet because if everyone's, like, good with it, we can't change Dana-Farber's. I'm going to put in that little thing about if childcare is available, I'm going to have them reach out to me separately from Dana-Farber because they have nothing to do with it. It's a New England chapel that's helping with that, and the top one is, like, our flyer. If everyone's good with it, then we push it out.
Can you text me your flyers because I'm going to talk about it
at the
conference?
Yeah, if you want, I can even add you on Canva if you want to, like, play.
I'm not going to.
All right.
I'd be afraid of like screwing it up.
I like that stuff.
moving on. And is it okay?
Yeah. The Jenny? Oh no. Terry. Sorry. You have your coat on. It looks like you're ready to leave, and it's warm in here.
I promise I'm not.
Are you cold?
Yeah,
something like that.
Yep, so February was a little bit of a shorter month. I mean, Franklin Mondays and Wednesdays, so just a lot of other food inspections this month, and 19. I know at the bottom here we have, like, the pools and camps and stuff. That's mostly come, like, the warmer times. That's why those have all been at zero. So the big focus has been on the food inspections, which is... main focus there. I know Kathleen just brought up the tool on the website that we added. I think that will trigger some more visits to the restaurants. So we'll see how that goes, but we do have to like release the information now, so we'll see. And then I think I have one more left of it's through the training hub. Kind of like intense housing trainings to get everyone up to speed, certified, and all that. So that took up, I think, 2 days this month. But they're really informative and really good. So I think I have one more like half day wrap up. So that's what those are. And I also got onto one of the MHOA like committees. It's just a virtual. I don't think I told you this either. Yeah, just like a virtual meeting. Kathleen Dufour's daughter is actually on the same one as me.
Okay.
She's in public health too.
Great.
So. It's like communications and stuff like that for MHOA. So.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah.
Good job.
Just something on the side to do. Be a part of.
And then next month you're going to give us a detailed report.
Yes. I just told Kathleen I'm almost done with that. We pushed it out a little this month. Being
That's
short
okay.
and everything was a little chaotic. But I'm finishing up with that. So
and we're fluid, so don't ever feel pressured.
Thank you. But yes, I am up to speed with it and I will give that next month. And
Thank
if you have
so
any
much.
Other questions or anything, always let me know.
Good job.
Yeah, excellent.
Alicia.
Okay, then for mine, communicable diseases, and I collected this data on February 26th, so it's subject to change. I'm sure it has already changed since then. Per the Mass Department of Public Health, during the week of 2/8 to 2/4, there were 1,078 confirmed COVID cases, and 140 probable. Franklin total COVID cases were only 28, down from 57 the month before. That's probable and confirmed. For respiratory illnesses, per the Massachusetts Department of Public Health, from February 8th to the 14th, an estimated 11.6% of emergency department visits were related to acute respiratory diseases in general. They were very low for COVID-19, though, and low for influenza, and also low for RSV. However, estimated influenza-like illness is still high in that Norfolk County-like region, so still seeing reports of it, even though the numbers have definitely gone down. And we are seeing a little bit more flu B lately. Have you noticed that?
Yes, the numbers went down like in January for flu,
and then
we transitioned to B.
And now there's been a little bit of a switch. We had a lot of A. I'm still seeing A. But.
So like the spring peak is a little bit earlier than it used to be historically.
Yeah, so we're still seeing cases, but it has come down. And in the month of January, we had 42 reported flu cases, down from 66 the month before. So definitely going down. And then I have the little charts there so you can just see the digression from December when we had 147 down to 66, and how we're roughly at 42. A few more cases may have gone in since I've done the data. And you can always look at the age groups over on the next graph too, with our largest still being that 5 to 19 group, but others it looks like are starting to catch up a little bit. But the largest has been like the 5 to 19 age group. Central Park Terrace, I went there on the February 18th. We did like a fun word game. This was a new one. It's like a really long, ridiculously long word, and it's try to find as many words in it as you can. We did like over 240. There was a huge group of us.
Wow.
We had so much fun. And then I do everyone's blood pressures and blood sugars after. Yeah, we have a great time. Everyone has to. We just like go around in a group. Everyone gets a turn, and then we have to like flip over the board because everyone's getting so many words and funny.
But shouldn't you be doing their blood pressure before the game?
I think I was like 5 minutes late, so the game was like already going on. So there was no interruption.
How excited do they get?
I cannot interrupt their games.
Their blood pressure could be going up because they're excited about the game.
Their blood pressure will go up if I interrupt their game. Okay, I know better than to interrupt.
Yeah, you don't want
them
doing that.
I'm not getting on the bad list. For meetings and trainings and events, I continue doing biweekly and monthly local Board of Health webinars. I continue with my monthly, the FCAT, we were talking about that briefly, the crisis action team meetings that I do at the Franklin Police Station. That was on the 4th. I'm part of like a regional connection group. So because I'm part of the Metacomet Public Health Alliance, they have like these regional connection groups, and they have been doing a monthly. We talk about basically what other public health nurses are doing for their communities, and the biggest thing is like maternal and infant health and how people are focusing on that. A lot of them are still working on those community baby showers is the biggest thing. That's another place where I got the idea for the Mama Brand Van to do a specific women's health expo. And then I had the Stop the Bleed class for the community at the fire station on 218, and I did the Southeast MAPHN, Massachusetts Association of Public Health Nursing. I'm part of that association, and I met via Zoom with them on the 19th. And then I keep doing my nursing care. My office hours are typically on Thursdays at the Franklin Senior Center, but I'm always doing blood pressures and wound care and referrals and other management. There's been a lot of home visits and people in need lately, so I've been helping a lot with that. And then we already kind of gave the women's health event. There's still a lot of work to be done on it, but we're getting there.
Kim, do you have the date for that?
Thank you.
For what?
The women's health expo?
May 20th.
May 20th, yeah.
Of course, I did the paperwork in order to request it.
And I did it
the backwards way, because I started to do it as the town of Franklin, and they're going, oh yeah, we're going to bill you and stuff like that. I said, screw that. I did it under my name.
There you go. Good for
it's
you.
Like, okay, I'm doing it under me, and now there's no charge. Because
that's good. That's
I wanted it that way, and I'd already asked, and they said, we won't charge. I'm like, good. So now I just
got to do the paperwork right.
No, I think they're very excited about that too, because I think that's one of the things that, that our church likes to be, is to be very much part of the community.
Yeah.
And
they are.
He has some interesting visions in terms of what he wants to do in the future.
Well, that's cool.
They allow us to do our nose work over there. We have trials.
Oh yes. Bay State sniffers.
Yeah, we do nose work at the church.
Yeah, and it's very possible that Meals on Wheels is moving to New England Chapel as well.
Oh, yeah, we were just talking about that. They're displaced right now. Yeah.
Yeah.
We were talking about that in our FCAT meeting. Yeah.
I think they're actually going to be moving there. They reached out to us, and we're in the process of trying to talk it through, but I think we figured out how we could do it there.
Yeah, nice.
And give them some dedicated space to do the storage that they need.
Well, they do about 171 meals a day.
It was something,
yeah. So we need a good space, yeah. So future agenda items, we're going to do the food presentation. We'll start our discussion about Kratom. We can't get it all done in one meeting, so we'll probably be moving forward the next 6 months or so, adding that to the agenda and taking it one step at a time. I think, super important that we get this off the shelves, along with, I did text the Detective Flynn about the psychedelic mushroom candy bars to see if that's legal or illegal. They're selling psychedelic mushroom candy bars in front of the school shops. Can't make this stuff up.
Oh my god.
I know, right?
I'm afraid to go in there.
Where are they selling this?
Franklin Smoke Shop.
At the drug place.
And they're legal to sell?
Well, that's what I'm checking. So they're overwhelming. I'm not kidding you. So then when Diane said that, is that legal? That's not legal. I'm like, well, I better check with the detective. It's really overwhelming.
It is.
Yeah, it is. You walk into the store, and it's just bonkers.
It bongs
this big. It's just crazy. It's crazy. You should really just walk in one of these stores. Not so much Moonlight.
I'm curious what the ingredients are. It's like, could it be mushrooms and then like other drugs in it, or is it actually like the illicit mushrooms?
I took a picture of it, I think.
He's
not going to buy them again after he sells those four.
Is that like mushrooms, Koreans?
No, that's the
It's called Moochie.
Absolutely. I'm right behind you.
Caramel crunch.
Moochie.
Oh my god.
I don't know if I took a picture of that.
Jeff, you just
I didn't.
Report just back. Let me know.
Why me? What do you think?
And they have like.
I was going to follow Jenny.
Moochie things, Asian things.
So what do we say? I mean, do we have a. No, but do we have a name? Are they.
That's the name, Moochie. M-O-C-H-I.
That's a.
So it's a trade name.
No, that's a trade name.
What do they say when you go in there?
They always say, oh, that's not.
Can we also add just a discussion on the warming slash cooling centers for extreme temperatures and/or town emergencies? Especially because I know people are sending people to places that are not open. So maybe we need to like publicize where that should be. Would someone like to make a motion? Okay.
Are we ready to adjourn?
Would you like to make a motion to adjourn?
I would. I make a motion to adjourn.
Would you like to second
it? I second it.
Diane, how do you vote?
Yes.
Yes. And I vote yes. We are adjourned.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tintype Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.